I believe that before this series are over, the full flame, many of us will have testimony that we can't wait to come and give a testimony. And I thank God for the testimony Charlotte shared this morning. And I know even today some of us have testimonies already. The only thing, you can't get space for everybody to come here on a Sunday morning to give a testimony. But anyway, you can flood John Star with the testimonies, sending the testimonies. And I know you'll be very much encouraged before the series are over. As we are all aware, we are in our third lesson. We have seen two. The first lesson was lost in the sea, and of course, last week we saw the matchless message. And you can remember what the message is all about, that we cannot preach this message without love. If you don't have love in our hearts, actually you can't preach it. Because it's a message of love, the gospel. Anyway, this week, because of time, this week we'll be looking at the art of the impossible. Who Jesus calls, he also equips. The art of the impossible. I won't go so much into preaching this morning. That's saving from the preaching, because you'll hear Bonk himself preach. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad for that. Unless something goes wrong technically, then I become Bonke. But I'll make sure I do the passion. I'll make sure I do the passion. Because, I mean, things don't work out. But anyway. So I won't go much into so much today, but I just share what personally myself I really get touched with, impacted with. First, we look at the first question about today, basically, before you go to watch the DVD, is to consider the process Jesus used to select his 12. I just read a scripture, one scripture, Luke 6, 12 to 13. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spend the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he called apostles. We have to ask ourselves, the main important question we have to ask ourselves, how did Jesus choose the 12 apostles? Remember, these guys were the guys who were going, who he's going to depend on, even when he was going to go back to his father to continue his work. From that scripture, it's very clear that Jesus spent all night praying just to choose 12 guys. He spent all night praying just to choose 12 guys. But the interesting thing about the whole thing is that, you see, when God chooses people, he doesn't do it as the world does. Because the world, when you're going to choose people to do something very important, if you have a serious project you want to do, obviously you go for the best. I mean, if you have a serious project you want to accomplish, maybe for London, I want to impact land on the project. It's something I want to do. Either it's a businessman or a web and or this is a business. I have to go and choose the best. That's what I would do as a human. That's human being to do that. If you want to go, if I want to I have an organization, I'll go for the best lawyer, I'll go for the best accountant, I guess the best thinkers, to make sure this thing works. I want to go for the second best. But it's interesting that God, in his way of doing things, he doesn't do that normally. God, in his way of doing things, he chooses, he sees the potential, what he can make out of someone. And I thank God that all of us here, that's how God has chosen us. For a moment, what has been, I've been kind of like, I don't know if you guys have heard this, about the issue about volunteering in the church. Have you ever heard about that statement being used in the church? To volunteer. How many wants to volunteer? Personally, I've really wrestled with this, that word, in terms of the kingdom of God. I've always asked myself, in the kingdom, are there volunteers? In the kingdom of God, are there volunteers? Because basically, that means you see that this Something needs to be done, and you volunteer because to fill in the gaps. But what we understand from the scripture, God has said very clearly that He has called us out. He has set us apart. So if you've been called out, how do you become a volunteer again? You've been called out even before anything. God has called us out, set us apart, that you are mine. So the only thing we are left to do is only one thing, is to accept the call. That's what we need to do on our people. And by accepting the call, we are giving ourselves to the very thing God made us to do. So basically, I kind of wrestled. The only thing I really felt like sharing this morning before we went the DVD is the issue about volunteering. Jesus does not choose us because of what we are, but because of what He can make of us. Last week, a challenge was issued to view people, especially, as an opportunity to love. This week, I just want to show the DVD. It's about God calling ordinary people and equipping them to do extraordinary things. Because the fact of the matter is, what you have been called to do is impossible, humanly speaking. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe something which is possible? Because if God has called us to do something which is possible, then you can do it anyhow without Him. God doesn't call people to do possible things. He always calls people to do impossible things. So that unless He equips them, they won't do it. And there's nothing in the kingdom of God in there which is natural. God, anything that is supernatural. He doesn't do anything which is natural. Anything about Him is supernatural. So anyway, we have a privilege now. We have been invited into that kind of lifestyle of seeing the supernatural. The equipping is by the Holy Spirit. I listen to another scripture, John 14, 18 and 17. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The question we have to ask ourselves this morning, do we see ourselves as chosen instruments of God? That's the ultimate question each of us have to ask ourselves. Do we see ourselves as your chosen instruments of God? It's part of how you feel like, it's part of what we are going through. I know sometimes we don't feel like we are chosen and we are called, we are God's people. We don't feel like it. But do we see ourselves as your chosen of God, instrument of God? That God is depending on us, me and you, to do His will. He and Perry Bell, as we prayed earlier on, and to the ends of the earth. So, that's the question we have to have in mind as we're going to watch the DVD. And I'll let Evangelist Bonke do the main bit. And before we watch the DVD, I'll just pray, open the word of prayer. Father, I thank You this morning. We thank You because You've chosen us, not because of anything that we're able to do, but You're so fitting, You chose us. And we're grateful for that. Though you don't feel like it, that you're the people You've called for this great task. So this morning, as we watch the DVD, help us to really understand by revelation what it means to be chosen as an instrument of God to do His will. We thank You and we give You praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
So we watch the DVD, then after the DVD, then we just go through the main points after we finish watching the DVD.
exactly did Jesus choose as his apostles, and what were their qualifications? What I found turned out to be truly life-changing. I believe it is one of the most encouraging biblical truths you will ever hear. It is a principle that harkens all the way back to the Old Testament and still holds true today.
Such bad choice.
choices. Look who he chose. He chose a man like Peter, impetuous Peter, a man with a quick temper, this rough man, always acting first and then thinking second. He chose the sons of Zebedee. They were hotheads. When the Samaritans refused overnight accommodation for Jesus and his disciples, the sons of Zebedee said, "Lord, call down fire and burn down this village." Jesus chose them. I thought, what glorious apostles would those two men make? Jesus said, "You don't know of what spirit you are. This is not the spirit of Christ." He chose them. But worst of all, he chose Judas Iscariot. Yes, Judas betrayed him, but the Bible also says that Judas was a thief. And if anyone knew, Jesus knew. And Jesus made him the treasurer of the apostolic team. I would forewarn any pastor, never appoint a thief to be your church treasurer. But Jesus did it. Now, when I realized that Jesus had chosen these men with all their faults and all their mistakes, I said, I cannot believe that he prayed for 12 hours, "Lord, show me the Superman," because none of them was a Superman. Why did Jesus pray 12 hours to choose people with such big faults? Why? Such ordinary people with their big mistakes. I said, "Lord, why did you choose these people? Why did you have to pray 12 hours? And then something happened to me. I had an experience that really blessed me mightily. It was as if the Holy Spirit took me and put me on that mountain where Jesus prayed, put me right next to him so that I could hear his voice. I expected Jesus to pray for the great, to show him the greatest man in Israel, but he didn't. I heard something totally different. And I thought, I could hear Jesus pray. I could even hear what he prayed. And what he prayed shook me. This is what I heard. Jesus prayed, "My Father, you know that I am about to choose my 12 apostles. Don't let me choose like the world chooses. Don't let me plant success as the kings of this world would plant their success. My Father, not my will, but your will be done." And it took 12 hours for Jesus to have the victory on that point. Mm-hmm. And then he came down from the mountain and he chose ordinary people. Amen. People like me and people like you. With all our mistakes, with our weaknesses, he still chooses us. I think if I had been Jesus, I wouldn't have gone to the beach for some ignorant fisherman. I think I would have gone to the University of Jerusalem. I would have said to the professors, "Give me a list of the finest young men, the sharpest brains, movers of people, great orators. I have a great commission that needs to go to the ends of the world. Give me the best of the young men you have here
at the university. Jesus didn't come close to a university. He chose ordinary people. Ordinary people. Jesus does not choose us because of what we are, but because of what he makes from us. Yes. And here is our great chance.
Oh,
God doesn't need Superman, and he doesn't need superwomen. I tell you why he didn't pick Superman. He didn't pick Superman because there were no Superman in Israel.
Amen.
There are no Superman in America. There are no Superman in Germany or in Britain or in China or in India. There are some Superman in Hollywood, but they are all fakes. Jesus chooses ordinary people, and this is how he chose these people there. Now, my father was a pastor. I heard the gospel from my earliest years. That is the greatest inheritance I have in this world. When I was 9 years of age, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And when I was 10, just 1 year later, in that little church in North Germany where I grew up, it was some kind of a mission meeting. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And the Lord said, Reinhard, when you are grown up, you shall preach the gospel in Africa. I was so overwhelmed. I jumped up. I ran forward. I put my arms around my dad. I started to cry. I said, Papa, God has spoken to me. My father said, son, what did he say to you? I said, he said to me, when you are grown up, you shall preach the gospel in Africa. My father said to me, Reinhard, your oldest brother shall be my successor.
Wow.
You know, I was not my father's choice. My father picked my oldest brother because he was the best at school in mathematics. And I was the worst. But in the meantime, I have found out that mathematics has not yet saved one soul. But the gospel of Jesus Christ. We may not be the choice of people, but Jesus is here to point with his finger at you. And he says, I have chosen you to go and preach the word of God.
Amen.
In Germany, we have a saying, when somebody is no good, really no good, we say, that one over there is a zero. The German word for it is null. He's just a null. He's just a zero. He fails his exams. He can't find a job or can't hold a job. He's just a zero. Well, I must be honest with you. When God called me, I was just a zero. Just a zero. Now listen. What happened. When God called me, being a zero, I responded. I came to Jesus and I stood next to him. That moment I made the discovery of my life. Because I discovered that Jesus is the number one.
Yes.
And when I, as the zero, stood next to him, we were already 10. Any other zero here? Come and stand next to me. And we are already 100. Any more zeros? 1,000. 10,000. 100,000. 1 million. 10 million. And then I realized, Jesus puts value into every zero. I don't even mind to be the last zero, because the last zero is the most valuable. 100 million is more than 100. As long as the one is in front, Jesus, we are all highly valuable. But take the one away, and we are all but zeros again. This is how God calls, how He chooses. It's a secret that needs to be understood. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, Jesus makes you valuable, highly valuable. He calls you, He equips you, and He sends you, and He will be with you all the way right to the end of time and to the end of the earth.
Makes every zero valuable. If a
Jesus got a project greater than any pharaoh. It was simply outside human capabilities. Man could build a pyramid, but Jesus involved them in what only God could do and to demonstrate the almighty power of God. Never did any emperor or leader in history ask so much of ordinary people, but never did any ruler make so much possible by ordinary people. Jesus deliberately picked a few local men who knew nothing about anything except fishing, and then sent them out to change the world. They had to go into cities and among the learned, sophisticated, and the powerful, often in hostile territory and against all odds. But he equipped them. They went with the greatest of all life-changing forces behind them, the gospel and the Holy Spirit, truth and power. Think, if we only do what we ourselves are capable of doing, it fails to show what God can do. But obey the Lord in faith and you achieve the unachievable. Then watch out. Mountains will move. The fundamental nature of Christianity is the art of the impossible.
DVDs, they've got a very good background. Now if you realize that, so watching them is good. Very good background. So the number of things actually which you can recover from the DVD, and it's very clear that what there's one thing which actually I know you can't forget, one it's so, don't need to forget. It's about the zero and the one. That's one thing. If you can forget that one, then you won't remember anything else. At least that one is something which I believe, even if anyone or anybody, even the child was there, needs to cut that. And he talks about being a zero, but with Jesus, number one, everything is okay. Amen. And it reminds us of that. There's a time when, you know, when he was, Bonke was talking, there's a time talking about who Jesus chooses. There's a time, remember when he had a message here by Pastor John, he talked about the rabbi. Remember the message?
Yes.
The rabbi. To be a rabbi, you have to be the best of the best of the best. So obviously, Jesus is a rabbi. These guys, the disciples, obviously they must have failed to end up going and do fishing. Peter must have flunked the test. Otherwise, if he was the best, he could have been a rabbi. Somebody's a rabbi. But thank God, he failed the test of the rabbis in Jerusalem. He went to do fishing, but Jesus chose him. The real rabbi chose him to be part of his team. Sometimes you can miss something. You can miss man's choosing, but it's wonderful when God chooses you. People can look at you and say, I'm not choosing you, but then God comes and chooses you. And we thank God for that. But all of us here, we're not the best of the best of the best. That's why we qualify to be in Jesus' team.
Amen.
Amen. I thank God for that. If we're the best of the best, we could have been in some place, not here. You know, but thank God. As I said, I just go through a few statements that Rene Bogan made. As long as Jesus is number one, we become precious and he puts value to every zero. That's one of the statements he made for us to remember. And then also he made another statement towards the end. We are not much in ourselves, just fragile centers of consciousness. He made that statement towards the end. We are not much by ourselves, in ourselves. That is minus God. We are nothing. The other third thing you can learn from that film, obey in faith and we achieve the unachievable. When you walk in faith, you begin to do that which cannot be achieved naturally. You have a choice to do things actually which we can achieve by own ability. But with God through faith, you can do the things which are unachievable. The impossible, that is. Humanly speaking. The other thing which comes out from the film is the art of the impossible is the fundamental nature of Christianity. Jesus said that a person of faith will accomplish greater things in John 14:12. Remember, even Jesus said that greater things will you do than this in magnitude. And even today, many people have been raised from the dead. Jesus raised the dead. Today we hear stories about people being raised from the dead in Mexico, people being raised from the dead everywhere. So I believe that greater things we will do only if we choose to walk and be people of faith. That thing I remember from the film is, well, we can all do the ordinary and trust God, but God is looking for men and women who will match their action to what they believe. That's a bit challenging. One of the statements he made there at the end is God is looking for people who will match their action with what they believe. So this week we have to ask ourselves, are we gonna match our action with what we believe? Every time we are about to do things, are we gonna ask ourselves, is this what we believe? Is this what I believe? And finally, there's a statement which came from you can learn from the phone. Is God intends us to be used for his purposes? Do we see ourselves as chosen instruments of God? Remember the question we asked earlier on? Do we see ourselves? Well, that's something each of us, we have to ask ourselves that question. Do I see myself that God has set me up as an instrument of His to be used to do His will? As I said earlier on, we don't sometimes feel like it. We don't. And we'll never most of the time feel like it. But we are who God has set apart. But the moment you said yes to Jesus, from that very moment, that came to reality. That we're the people God has chosen. Long before even you were born, that God set it apart. That you'll be mine. So now it's up to us just to respond, to say yes to the call. And then you can see God do the impossible and use us as He desires. Amen?
Amen.
There's something I felt strongly this week when preparing, is this something which I believe we can do. I just shared it with John. We can do in the life group this week, as we can see God in the life groups and see in our life groups, how can God use the giftings that He's given us in terms of evangelism. You can begin to seek God on that. Then, Lord, how can you use what I give? Because God has given us things, giftings, abilities even, already. But how can He use them for evangelism? Because many of us, we are gifted in many areas, you know, skills or... But if you seek God, then God will show us how we can use those talents or giftings to evangelism. Because ultimately, this is why we are here. Win souls. And those giftings, I believe, that God gave them to us in the first place. To all the, obviously, so that you can earn a living. I'm not saying that your gift will help you, you know, earn a living. But ultimately, the ultimate purpose was, we can use those giftings and can see, you know, as a doorway for evangelism.